Those were his exact words. She wants you.
You're listening to the Millennial Musician Podcast with your host, recording artist and music career strategist, Shay Leonia. On with the show.
If ever there was a, oh my God, is that how I sound right now? Oh, these are the first words that I'm uttering today. So welcome to my freshly awoken Jonesan voice. I promise you're going to hear my voice warm up as the podcast goes on. So don't be like, ooh, vocal fry, annoying, let me shut it off. No, this, I promise, I'll just, let me get warmed up. Anyway, I was going to say, if ever there was a morning for tea, particularly green tea, today is it. I don't have any green tea in my house except for a bag of Whole Foods matcha powder. I'm going to be quite honest with you, I'm not a huge fan of matcha. I'm a tea snob, self-proclaimed tea snob. I know it. Everyone who knows me knows it. I typically only consume loose leaf tea. And that's because I want to say it was probably 2000. Ooh, that's sexy, right? 2005 or six, or maybe both, that I was a barista at Teavana when it first started. And part of my barista training was getting to know all of the teas, all of the cast irons. And so I became very, very well acquainted with the bougie life of loose leaf tea. Ever since then, the bag stuff I reserve for when I need my stool softened or when I am sick. You might be hearing me now and think, bitch, it sounds like you're sick. But no, I'm just tired. This is just me tired after a very long week, a very enjoyable week. That's the thing, is that I feel like at my age, it's part of the bag. If I'm going to go out and have fun or enjoy myself, I need to know that there's a price to pay. And this week, the price that I've paid has been my sleep and also my diet. Not diet like as in losing weight diet, just the way that I've been eating has been it's been a lot more erratic than usual. I haven't seen the inside of a grocery store in a very long time for like a good grocery shopping. And that's just because I've been so fucking busy. And I'm so grateful to be as busy as I am. So I'm not trying to knock it. But when life gets this busy, it's very, very hard to keep a focus on taking care of myself. And I'm sure that a lot of you can relate. I have not been doing my workouts, which is probably another reason why I feel so tired and why I've been sleeping so shitty. But yeah, your girl has congestion issues for as long as I can remember. So sleep has never been easy. I'm also prone to nightmares, which is, I'm just a barrel of fun, guys. But I'm so grateful because, and also the other addition to why I'm so tired is because I've been driving like truck drivers do lately. On Thursday, I was in New York. Last night, I was South Jersey for my wedding gig. Tonight, I'm going to be in somewhere in Pennsylvania for my wedding gig. And it's been like, you know, 5 hours of driving each day takes a toll. It's tiring. But one of my favorite things about, particularly about when I get to do wedding gigs, like last night, I wasn't necessarily running out the door to drive home. Let me rephrase that. I wasn't rushing home because where I was like prime real estate for stargazing. So I actually pulled my car over and just looked at the stars for a while because I love these wedding gigs I get to do where I'm in the middle of nowhere. It's pitch black. Hopefully there are no murderers or monsters or weird creatures lurking about. And I just park my car and poke my head out the window for like just a couple minutes. And I just take in like a view of the stars that I can't get nearby where I live. It's a really nice reminder of perspective for me. And it's also a very nostalgic moment for me. I grew up, see, this is, you're getting real time, my voice coming to. I grew up with my mom having my brother take me out to whenever he would, maybe, I don't know if it was his idea, but all I remember is that my mom was a fan of it, where my brother would take out the trash each night, and our driveway was to the back of the house. It was a very weird setup because we were a corner house. And so to get to the back, where the trash cans were, he would walk through the backyard. And yeah, I just remember him carrying me, and then he would stand there in his schmucky voice. He was like, "Look at the moon and the stars." And it was something that like we made fun of throughout the years. And I have a very complicated relationship with my brother now, but that's one of my nice memories is of getting to see the stars. And it's, and even with my mom, stargazing was a big thing. So I love, like, it's my few minutes of gratitude, especially after a night getting to do what I love. I'm really not trying to be cheesy. Like, I'm still completely enamored with the fact that I get to be a wedding singer. You know, and that's just one of my many jobs. But each weekend that I don't have a wedding gig on my books, I'm like, and it's not even just because of the pay. It's like, or having something to do. It's really just like, man, they're so much fun. They are so much fun. Like, even if I have an exhausting week, getting to finish it out with a wedding gig is just so exhilarating, and getting to play awesome music with awesome people and getting to see everybody have fun. And even if they aren't having fun and they're being total schmucks, getting to make fun of them for being schmucks on what should be just a happy day. And so, you know, getting to have these long meditative drives, because I'm definitely the type of person who multitasks way too often. And I'll even catch myself doing it just mindlessly, where I'll open up Candy Crush or something, and while I'm supposed to be enjoying a TV show, and it's like, it's hard to get my brain to focus these days in this culture that we've built around the addiction on our phones and everything. So it's just such a nice break when I get to decide, okay, I'm going to listen to music on this drive, or I'll listen to another favorite podcast of mine, or, you know, quote unquote, read an Audible book. And I get to just focus on the directions and whatever is playing. And I just get to go to places that I've never been. And it's really a meditative experience for me. And then when I arrive, getting to see just these pretty places that I otherwise wouldn't experience, you know, I'm definitely, I feel like a boxcar kid, to anybody that grew up with that book. Yeah, I definitely feel like a boxcar kid. So whenever I'm in these pretty places, I'm like, wow, not only am I in this pretty place as a guest, but I'm one of the people that has the in, you know. I get to associate with the staff and see things from their perspective, because it's not like I'm just like a regular guest. You know, I'm important. I'm part of the wedding band. Hey, where's the wedding band setting up? It's like, and but yeah, back to this matcha. It's really disappointing. I really need to go tea shopping and re-up, because a lot of my teas are, I think they're stale or old. But the last thing I have time to do right now is go to the mall, which is so, like, there you have it. There you have it. That's my best option for some authentic loose leaf tea right now, would be to go to the mall. And I don't feel like going to the mall because even if I did feel like it, I don't have time. And who's going to go to the mall on a Saturday unless you're a sociopath? But yeah, this tea sucks. But while I was making it, I was still enjoying the chance to have my little Karate Kid moment. I definitely binged the new season of Cobra Kai in like two sittings or three sittings. I love it. I love Cobra Kai. It tickles all of my nostalgic bones. But yeah, I was preparing my matcha and I was literally doing it like my best impersonation of Kumiko, and I was playing the song in my head while I was making it. That boo boo boo. I know that sounds like a cross between Karate Kid and Zelda, but I'm trying to do my Karate Kid. Shout out to Bill Conti, by the way, who did Rocky and Karate Kid. I think that's why I love both of those movies so much. So thank you, Bill Conti. Let me get into what I'm going to talk about today, though. I just took a moment to try to rid my body of this disgusting morning mucus. Oh, we love some alliteration, guys. I just realized for the first half of this this episode, I'm totally reminding myself of that skit, the NPR delicious dish that Anna Gasteyer and Rachel Dratch did on SNL. You're listening to National Public Radio. Oh God, I gotta go look those up on YouTube now. But that's not what we're gonna talk about today. Good morning. So the other day, my goodness, I am so sorry for all of this, like, one last reference, I promise I will get into the episode, but now, like, my brain is just constantly just movie scenes or TV show scenes or music stuff going on, and what just popped into my head was John Candy clearing his throat on Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. Oh my God. I'm so sorry you're getting all of this in your ear because I don't have time to edit this out. Oh, that's disgusting, matcha. Okay, so on Friday, I had my client meeting with Callie, and she was like, I want to hear about this time that you worked with Janelle Monáe. And I promised her I would make a podcast episode about it. So now down to the wire, I'm making a podcast episode. And it will come out, it'll be tomorrow when you're hearing this. So yeah, literally the day before, I am doing this episode for you because I realize that I have promised for years I will tell the story. It's a very complicated thing, this experience of working with Janelle Monáe. And the reason why is because I don't ever want to get caught up being the type of person that had, you know, quote unquote, one claim to fame, and they just constantly are just shoving it down everyone's throats. But at the same time, I'm also still so proud of that experience in my life that when I talk about it and I put it on my resume and I put it out there, it's not to say, and she hasn't done anything since. I mean, of course I've done things since, but it's one of those things that I'm really, really, really proud of. And I hope to bring more of those opportunities into my life in the near future. So yeah, if you're one of those people that rolls your eyes when you hear me talk about, like, yeah, and I've worked with Janelle Monáe, fuck you. Just be happy for me. Yeah. And that's all I'm going to say about that, because I'm going to continue living my life being completely in awe that I had the experience that I did. And that's how I feel about every experience. Literally the other night, on Thursday night, the reason why I was in New York in Brooklyn was to see Craig Robinson in the Nasty Delicious. And I have the great honor of being friends with his brother, Chris, Chris Robb, who is one of the meanest keys players I've ever heard. Like, this guy just, I don't think he gets celebrated enough for his skill level. It's just insane what this man can do when you give the piano some. So I'm friends with him, and I'm also friends with Benji Alance, who is one of the greatest humans the world ever created. He is a world-renowned percussionist. He is Canadian. He is Canadian and by way of Haiti. He is, just everybody that knows him absolutely loves him. I don't think that if anybody ever had anything bad to say about Benji, you would know that it was them that fucked it up. That's just how that goes. But so I went to go see them. I was really excited because I hadn't seen either one of them in a very long time. And I had also never seen Nasty Delicious perform. And it's so funny too, because I had just, I literally got put on to Smartless, the podcast, not long ago. And I listened to the Craig Robinson episode and he shouted out Benji and he shouted out Chris and everybody in the band. So I was like, man, I'm so excited to like see them live. Benji was like, yeah, you know, you keep yelling at me that you keep missing me. So come out to the show. So I came out to the show and I got there fairly early. I walked right up to the front of the stage. Like, all of Brooklyn Bowl was bowling. Nothing was going on yet. The whole floor was like empty. And I was like, oh my God, I get prime real estate here to pick where I want to stand for this show. So I go right smack dab up to the front. The opener comes on, Dudley Music. That man has a whole other lung that I'm convinced we do not know about because he was playing flute, sax, rapping, singing with no breaths taken. Hey, Liam Neeson, is it taken? Taken. He was just wild to watch. I was breathing for him. Like, I was gasping for air for him. I don't know how he did it. Then after that, there was a comedian that came out. That's all I'm going to say about that. And then Craig came out. Fucking phenomenal show. But here's what happened. Craig is just a music fiend. Like, you can tell that he fucking loves music. Like, he loves comedy. He loves doing what he does. But when you hear him play and you witness him just having fun and being like, ooh, that song sounds like it would go good with this or go good with this. And he just weaves in and out of these songs that you can tell, like, he just feels like playing them live. And so he was weaving in and out of different songs, a lot of 80s songs. He played Rocky. And I'm so, like, in the moment, I'm such, like, a cheesy fan that I'm, like, holding up my arm as though he can see in the pitch blackness of the theater that I have a Rocky tattoo on my arm. So I'm just, like, holding up my arm as if anyone can see it or as if anyone cares. But I'm like, oh, my God, he's playing Rocky. So he played Gonna Fly Now. He definitely did Eye of the Tiger. But at one point, this was like later on in the show, one of the songs that he flipped into was One More Try by George Michael. And I think you are all getting to know me well enough to know that I was born and raised on George Michael's teat. Like, George Michael is a god in my household growing up. So George Michael, he starts singing One More Try and he sings like maybe just one line of it. And then you can tell that he can't remember the words, but I had been singing so loudly all night in front of his face, like literally in front of his face, cause that's where I was positioned in the audience. He ends up looking at me, gives me a head nod, and then he unfurls his microphone and passes it to me. And what really shocked the fuck out of me, looking back on this moment, is that my nerves were not through the roof. Typically, like in the past, if someone did that to me, I would be trembling. Like, I wouldn't even be able to hold the microphone still because I would be so shook from nerves. But I have wedding gigs to thank. I'm pretty sure that's what subdued me, was that I've been gigging so regularly that the stage fright thing has reduced tremendously. And I wouldn't consider myself to be a tremendous stage fright person, but impromptu, absolutely. Let me get a sip of this horrible matcha real quick. So he passes me the mic and he motions to the band to start from the top. And I was standing on my tippy toes so that I wouldn't, stretch the mic cord too tight. And standing on my tippy toes, I closed my eyes and I started singing it. And the key was so low. And while it was low, I was thinking to myself as I'm singing, like, oh my God, this probably sounds bad. I'm not even getting to show off what I can really do right now because the key is so low, but fuck it. Do what you can with what you have. And I sang a few lines of One More Try. I would have loved to have sang more. I would have loved to like have the chutzpah to get on stage and sing it with them. But, you know, I did what I could in the moment. And there was a woman that had a camera in my face recording it. She approached me after the show and she was like, hey, do you want the footage? And I was like, please, nobody ever takes video of me, please. But yeah, like afterwards, the crowd went wild and clapped and I passed the mic back to Craig. And I think what really I was so, so grateful for was that Chris, he goes, everybody give it up for Shay Leonia. And I was like, oh my God, thank you, Chris, so much for saying my full name. So then Craig was like, yeah, give it up for Shay. And at the end of the night, after I had finished texting my family chat about it, I heard him like thank literally every single person who came on stage impromptu. And I was one of those people that he thanked. He was like, where's Shay at? Is Shay still here? And I was like, oh my God, I just went to the bathroom real quick. Like, I'm still here. They played like a 4-hour set. Okay, I needed to pee. But yeah, afterwards he came up to me and gave me a hug. And I was just like, man, you know, I would have loved to have been one of those people that takes a picture with him. But I also didn't want to fuck up the moment. So I was like, let me just leave with the picture in my memory. I also took an obnoxious picture of myself with him from the crowd. So I'll be posting that on Instagram if you want to follow me at Shay Leonia. It'll go over there. why tell you that story? Why tell you that story? Because I am absolutely fucking grateful for every single moment like that that ever happens. And that's what happened with the Janelle Monáe thing. Man. Okay, so stick with me here. It's a Tuesday night. I'm in my apartment in Jersey, my shitty apartment in Jersey. It was awful. It's pouring rain outside. It's my day off of work. I'm a waitress at the time. And I get a phone call from my friend Aaron. And he goes, Shay, what are you doing? Now, mind you, it's like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon. And 3 o'clock, that's what time it was. And I was like, nothing. It's my day off. Why? What's up? And he goes, can you be in the city tonight? There's an audition. Janelle Monáe is holding an audition for the Steve Colbert show. And I was like, yeah, sure. And he goes, okay, learn this song. I'm going to send you the song. And the thing that went through my head, I promise you, was not, oh my God, I might get this. The thing that went through my head was, oh, this is a great opportunity for networking. Like, I was going to go and schmooze with whoever else was auditioning. I was going to make myself known to whoever was on Janelle Monáe's team. That's all that was on my mind. Sip. There you go. My voice is waking up finally. So I get on my NJ Transit bus, which was around the corner from my house. Literally around the corner from my house. And I think I catch an express, luckily, and I'm listening to the song on repeat that they had sent. And I am learning the song over and over again because it's a choir part in the song. And I get to the studio that he told me, the address that he told me to go to, and I walk in and I see a bunch of familiar faces. But we were separated from like, my brain is still processing. We were separated into two groups. There were the dancers and there were the singers. So the dancers were all schmoozing. I didn't know any of them at the time. And then the singers, we all gathered together to learn different choir parts. So then Jamel, who I believe his official title might be creative director, he comes up to us and he's like, all right, singers, we're going to have you sing this all together on video. I'm going to send the video to Janelle, and then I need you to each sing it individually. So we all sing it as a group, and then one by one, everybody starts walking up to sing it by themselves. Everybody's looking at their phone. Now, mind you, I'm not trying to knock anybody. If there's anybody that reads lyrics off of their phone, it's me. It is me. But for this particular thing, I knew the importance of being off book. And so I had saturated myself full of those lyrics. And so one by one, I'm seeing my friends go up. They're reading the lyrics. Even as they're reading the lyrics, some of them are like flubbing the lines. And I go up and I'm off book and I do my slate. And then I sing it, and then I step aside. Once we were finished with that, Jamel announces, all right, everybody, thank you so much. Singers, if you need to head out, you can, but it would be really helpful for me if you can stay, because I gotta come up with this choreography, and it would be really helpful to have the bodies to mark it with. I'm thinking to myself, sure. Like, I don't have anything else to do. Like, there's nothing better on my schedule tonight, and I am not going to miss out on a chance to spend more time with Janelle Monáe's team. But a bunch of, well, yeah, like most of the singers left. Most of the singers left, and a couple of them even made comments about like, we're not getting paid for this, and blah, 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 I have stuff to do. And I was just like, why are you so mad though? Like, I mean, So another detail about this audition that I should tell you is that a couple months prior, my cousin had surprised me for my birthday with tickets to see Janet Jackson in Austin. But when I went to see her, I was expecting to see one of the dancers, Miche, who had toured with her when Janet reemerged on the scene with her badassness. And Miche was like, she was from my dance school, from Broadway Dance Center. She was touring with Janet. It was a big deal. So I was looking for her when I was in Austin, and I didn't see her. And I was telling my cousin, like, oh, I wonder where she is. She was on this audition, but she wasn't auditioning. She was helping Jamel. So when I saw her and she saw my Janet tattoo, I was like, oh my God, Miche, that's so fucking cool. So that was wild. That was like a major omen for me. Like, wow, I was looking for her on stage in Austin, and here she is in this room with me, like teaching me this choreography. So anyway, moving on. I'm learning the choreo. Part of the choreo was Mosh Pit. And Jamel kept saying over and over and over again for like 4 hours straight. He was like, guys, do it again. It's not realistic enough. Do it again. So we started like really getting into it, and like, we were telling people like, hey, take off your jewelry, like be careful, because people were getting bloodied and bruised. It was a scene. So anyway, I'm like making friends with these dancers, and we're just like connecting on this unique experience of like doing a mosh pit and getting used to mark choreography. At the very end of the night, Janelle's actual dancers come in. And so Jamel starts working with them on what the choreography is. So I'm just like on a cloud. I'm like, this is such an amazing experience. Like, I'm soaking it all in. At the end of the night, I thank Jamel for a wonderful experience. And he goes, yeah, if anything, I'll give you a call later tonight if you made it for callbacks. So I'm thinking to myself like, yeah, that's not going to happen. Whatever. I go home to Jersey and it's late. And all of a sudden I get a call from Aaron. And he was like, Shay, are you available tomorrow morning for callback auditions? And I was like, oh my God, yes. And I was so excited. He was like, okay, I'm gonna send you the address now, and congratulations, and I'm so happy for you. The reason why my friend Aaron was involved is because he ends up like getting thrown last minute things, I think, to either helping out a friend or as like a legitimate subcontractor. But he was just helping out a friend. And so he was the one relaying this information to me. And I think he was like working on a show himself at the time. So, Aaron, I fucking love you. I do not love this matcha. It's really, really bad. But it's something hot and warm. So, yeah. I'm home. I get the call. I'm like, okay, time to go to bed. I go to bed. I wake up. I have work scheduled that evening to waitress in Jersey. But all that matters right now is that I'm in New York. Now, another detail that's really, really important for this. while I was waitressing, as I would make money, I would spend the money. Like the money would come in and so would a bill. And then the money would go out. So I had like $10 to my name. I'm not exaggerating. Like when I'm not talking about like these people that are like, yeah, I'm so broke. Like I only have $1,000 left in my like saving, my third savings account. Like, no, I had $10 to my name because I was so reliant on working waitressing shifts and trying to get ahead. It was really, really hard. So we'll talk about like my financial education growing up in another episode. So I'm walking down the street. I'm literally down the street from the place where we're going to do the callbacks. And I'm literally about to cross the street and I get a call or a text from Aaron. And he says, Shay, I'm so sorry. Janelle is stuck in Canada and she can't get through. And the whole thing has been canceled. I was like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? My heart sunk to the depths of my stomach. And I was like, I almost had one of the biggest opportunities of my career thus far. And no one is ever going to know. And I just immediately just went into victim mode. And I was like, God, I'm like, like, this sucks so much. It really legitimately sucked. So I just scrounged up my few dollars that I had, went home, and I was like, well, back to being a waitress. And this is not knocking any other like career servers, but I never wanted to be a career server. And there's so much shit that goes along with being a server where people are like, you know, they get real chutzpahnik on you sometimes and they're like, yeah, but what do you really do? You're such a good waitress. Like, I didn't want to hear that shit. So at this time, like, I was like, great, guess I'm going to just go be a waitress. And I was already at that job for like far, far longer than I had wanted to be. So people were already kind of like, yeah, yeah, yang me every time. I would be like, no, this is my last year. This is my last year. And it just fucking sucked. The whole culture around that shit sucked. So I go back to work that night and it ends up actually being a really busy night. I remember the patio was open. I was raking in money on the patio. I'm pretty sure I was like shift leader, so I had a larger station than usual. And I was making money. Like, I ended up making, I think, $150 that night. But every chance that I had to not have to put a smile on my face in front of the guests, in the back on the line in the kitchen, I just was miserable. I was like, I could not hide my emotions there. And which is so like immature when I look back on it now. Because it's like, no, compartmentalize that shit. Like, keep that shit where it matters. But I was also like secretly looking for the attention and the soothing from someone knowing that I was upset. Like, I wanted someone to soothe me. And that's part of what you go through when you're like by yourself all the time. I wanted some soothing. So I was just pouting the whole night. And I didn't tell anyone, I don't think, why I was pouting. I maybe told like one or two people, but for the most part, nobody knew. And so for the people that did know, they were like, don't worry, it'll happen when it's supposed to, and like all that kind of shit. And I was like, no, it won't. So I count up my $150 and I go home. I literally got a non-dairy pint of Ben and Jerry's to sink my woes into. And I'm sitting on the couch and I'm like, this fucking sucks. Like, and it's 1 a.m. I get a call from Aaron. And Aaron goes, Shay, I'm sorry to call you so late. Can you be in New York tomorrow morning? Jamel will text you the address. But can you go? Are you available? And I was like, what? He goes, yeah. Janelle was able to get through, so we're back on. And she wants you. Those were his exact words. She wants you. When I tell you that spoon dropped to the floor, I jumped up and I was freaking out. I was sobbing my ass off to Aaron. And Aaron was like, yeah, Shay, I love you. I love you. I'm so happy for you. But I got to go call these other people right now. I was like, Thank you, Aaron. And so I was so excited that I could barely sleep, as you can imagine. The previous day, the callback auditions had been at 8 a.m. So, or no, 9 a.m. So I set my alarm for like 7:30. And I was like, okay, they'll probably be around that time. And 7:30 comes and goes. I still haven't gotten a text message from Jamel. Finally, I get a text with the address. And it's like, I want to say it's 8:30. Yeah, this is the shit, okay? It was 8:30 in the morning. I get a text from Jamel with the address. And I'm like, what time? And he goes, 9 a.m. And I texted and I said, I can probably be there around like 10 or 11. I was like, you know, because I didn't know what the bus schedule was. I didn't know if I had already missed all of the express buses. And he was like, we'll be done by then. Woo! When I tell you those words, I don't know what happened, but I was like, spirits, ancestors align. Whatever needs to happen right now needs to happen right now. So the funny part was at the time I had a partially long haircut where it was like I still had short hair, but it was like an asymmetrical haircut. And the way that I slept without hairspray, like my hair was just fucking like a nightmare. I looked like I guess it's Mo or Curly. Yeah, maybe Mo from the Three Stooges. Yeah, I'm literally talking like that. Because the coif, it was like very involved. This is part of the reason why I'm bald now and happily bald now is because like that hairstyle was so hard to keep up with. So first thing in the morning, so I literally grab a pair of leggings. I grab my flannel shirt. I put on my, White Silence's Consent shirt, which is, yeah, it's a little political statement. And I don't put on any jewelry, don't put on any makeup, nothing. I run my ass to the corner, like, just run. All I had done was brush my teeth. I run in the corner. Just as I run in the corner, literally, miraculously, an express bus is pulling up. So, and not the T Express, the X Express. So that's the good one. So I hop on the X Express and I pull into Port Authority. I fucking run to the place that I had to be for the rehearsal studio. Excuse me, I'm like totally burping into the mic. Let me get another sip. So I run my ass and I make it and I get upstairs and Miche is running the choreo again and I see like brand new faces. For the most part, it's like practically no one from the audition Tuesday night. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay, I'm really lucky. That's like basically my thoughts. I'm really, really lucky. Suddenly in walks MJ Rodriguez. And at the time, I had not watched Pose and because I didn't have TV. So like I wasn't familiar with who she was or like how amazing she was. You bet your ass I am now because I've watched, binge watched all of Pose and more. Like I love everything that woman does. So MJ Rodriguez was there. She was the sweetest person and she was so supportive. She was like, girl, I heard you sing. Like she was like, I can't wait to be at one of your shows being like, Shay, sing, girl. She was so sweet. And another one was my friend, my friend Marcus. He was there. He had just danced with Janet on Billboard at the Billboard show, the awards show. And then he had also danced as the principal dancer in her music video Made for Now. I was like, so what does it feel like to be Janet's favorite? Oh. So yeah. And then I just, man, like, and then this dude, Josh, who is probably the funniest person I've ever met, him and Marcus are like BFFs for life. Both incredible dancers and incredible people. So we're just going over the choreo like nonstop. And finally, after we get it down, that's when they're like, okay, guys, let's load into these cabs. We're going to take a bunch of cabs over to the theater. And I'm like, what? Because in my brain, like I've never experienced anything like this before. So I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to have a chance to like go home, shower, like do my hair, put on some makeup, get dressed. And nope, Nope, wasn't happening. We were heading right to the theater, so I was panicking. I was like, there's no way they can let me go on TV like this. So we get to the theater. It's freezing cold. We're at the Ed Sullivan Theater. And I was in the car ride. I was crammed into the car with Miche and MJ. And I wanted to impress Miche so badly. Like, I wanted her to like me so much. I don't know what her astrological sign was, but it was very, very unknown as to whether or not she she gave a shit about my existence or not. If you're hearing this now, Miche, just know that I love you. And I just want you to love me back. That's not healthy. So anyway, we get to the theater. It's freezing cold. We sign all of our paperwork. So while it's freezing, I'm also sweating because we're like doing this number over and over and over again. My flannel is covered in sweat. Also from it, from being, you know, just in the cab, it was hot outside. And this was July, I think, July, New York. And Miche was like, oh God, I'm so cold. Tell me how I wanted to impress her so bad or make a good impression on her so badly. I go to pass her my flannel, and it was one of those slow motion moments where, like, as I'm going to pass her my flannel for her to wear, I'm realizing, bitch, this shit is cold and wet. But my arm was already outstretched. So I was like, no, I can't stop now. Miche, take my flannel. And she touches it and she's like, ugh. And she puts it around her shoulders and she was like, yeah, I'm okay. I was like, God damn. Why did I just do that? Like, oh God. Ugh. Like, I passed somebody my sweaty fucking shirt to keep them warm. Like, what was I thinking? And the shit was like sweaty, but also like frozen solid sweaty because of how cold the theater was. It was just, oh God, bad decisions. So after we run the number a few times, Janelle walks in. Janelle is just as cute as a button in person as she is everywhere else you see her. She is also just as kind as you would imagine her to be. When she walked in, there wasn't some major announcement like, okay, guys, here comes Janelle. No, she just walked in and she starts learning the choreo, the placement, everything. And she's running it several times with us. And we're singing live. Like, those of us who are singing, we're singing live. Like, I had a mic. A few of the other singers had a mic. And so you could hear me sing. And so we did the sound check. And I did my first, hold on. Like, I did that. And Janelle goes, sing, girl. And I fell out. I was like, oh my God, you cannot tell me shit. Janelle just spoke to me. So yeah, we ran the number a few times with Janelle. I was just so, like, just blown away by the fact that this woman was learning this choreo on the spot. She had just been traveling. Like, she was so kind to everybody, like, just acknowledging everyone and thanking everyone. And so then we leave to go to the green room, and we get some swag from, like, you know, the Late Show with Steve Colbert. And Jamel makes the announcement. I know it's so, like, inconveniently confusing probably when you're listening to this, like, to differentiate Jamel from Janelle, but this was Jamel, her creative director, speaking to us. He was like, all right, guys, it was probably like 3:30. He was like, all right, we have until 5:30. I need you guys back here to get ready to do the show. We are not providing makeup or hair, so do that yourselves. So everybody just, like, leans back and they're like, oh, I'm going to take a nap, you know? And I booked it out of there. Oh, by the way, after he made that announcement, he looked at me. He was like, Shay, I need you to get a new shirt too. And I was like, because remember, I had the white silence is consent. He was like, I know that shirt would fly after pandemic, but in 2018, when this all happened, no. So I literally raced, like, supermarket sweep style, raced out of the theater. I am right near Ed Sullivan Theater is conveniently near Columbus Circle. So I run my ass over to Columbus Circle and I go to Sephora. And I was like, okay, I can get somebody at Sephora to do my makeup. As long as I buy the products, I can return the products afterwards. And so I have somebody do my makeup. And as they're doing my makeup, I'm like, can you let me do my own lip? Because I wanted to make sure that I wore a signature blue lip, because I wanted to make sure that my nieces and nephews could see me easily, and so that anybody watching could see me easily. And so I got this Kat Von D, like sparkly, super sparkly, bold blue lip, and I bought the products. Like I think I got like one Yves Saint Laurent foundation, which I would never wear. So I ended up like, of course I returned it afterwards, but for the purposes of just paying, being able to pay for having my makeup done, I bought it. I bought the lipstick was like $20. The foundation was probably closer to like $50. I run out of there and I go to the barbershop. I have them clean up my hair. But this was just like a, like some grandpa barber. He does my hair. He like the shaved portion, he cleans me up, but still there is no idea what to do with the coif portion of my long hair. So then I pay for that haircut. I run to the CVS across the street. I buy my big, big sexy hair spray, $20. I douse myself in hairspray. Then I run to H&M. Also nearby. Like I'm literally like pew, 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 pew. And I'm just dropping money everywhere I go. And I run into H&M. I find a regular like burgundy t-shirt. I was like, okay, cool. I know I look good in burgundy. Let me just grab this. I had my Doc Martens on. So like the leggings didn't look too bad. And then I needed some jewelry. So I buy like a couple pieces of jewelry and I pay for that. Run my ass like to back to the theater. Lo and behold, the money that I, this is the part that really bugs me out. The money that I had made from working the waitress shift the night before was the exact amount of money that I needed to be able to pay for those last minute things. Had the callback audition gone through and Janelle had not been stuck in Canada, I would have more than likely called out from that work shift that night, where I ended up making the money that I would need the next day. That is the miraculous part about this. So I get back to the theater and I'm like, I'm like by the skin of my teeth, it's 5:30 and I've just arrived back. And all of a sudden, Jamel makes the announcement, oh, guys, turns out we do have hair and makeup if anybody wants to get a touch-up. I was like, are you fucking kidding me? So so I volunteer, and my makeup was fine, but, like, they ended up doing this awesome, like, pompadour-type hairstyle on me, and we were just, like, kikiing in the salon portion of the theater, and I was like, what a fucking experience this is. And so finally we go up, and Denzel was on the show, I'm pretty sure, but of course we were like kept separate from him, and we're just watching the show as we're waiting to go on, and I'm hanging out with MJ and just like just sitting back and enjoying the experience. I'm also running the choreo a few times. We go on set finally, and she does make me feel, but then she did this the number that we ended up doing, American oh my God, what is the name of the song? American something. Holy shit. Oh, American. Hold on. I can't remember the fucking name of the song right now. What a joke that is. Okay. So we ended up doing the song that I can't remember the name of, and, but I promise I was in it. And, we run it twice. What people don't realize is that the first time that we ran it, we got a standing ovation. That was not the cut that they used. We ran it a second time, just as good. But the second time that we did it, Janelle, her microphone stand accidentally fell off the stage, but she caught it with her foot. What a fucking G she is. She caught it with her foot. But the problem was that my staging, me and the person that I was with, we were supposed to cross behind her, but because the mic stand was blocking our path, we had to like cross in front of her. And so we're literally like, when you see the footage, we run past in front of her, which is like the biggest no-no that you could ever do. But we literally had no other choice in the moment because there was nowhere else to go. So we ran in front of Janelle and then we finished the number. It was fucking amazing. And then it was over. And so I go home and I'm just like sleeping on a cloud. And the next day I go into work and I don't remember how soon after it aired, but the day that it aired, I was working. So I was literally watching myself on TV with Janelle Monáe while working as a waitress. And it was the biggest mind fuck of my life, but it was also like my phone was blowing up. People were like, oh my God, Shay, was that you? Oh my God, Shay, I see you in the blue lipstick. And my sister sent me a video of my niece watching me on TV and she goes, I see she's wearing blue lipstick. Like it was all about the blue lipstick, I'm telling you. and I ended up wearing that same exact blue lipstick when I did the RuPaul gig too, which I will tell you about another time because this episode has gotten so much longer than I thought it would. But yeah, I will forever be indebted to Janelle Monáe. I'm forever in debt to Aaron for thinking of me. I'm just so grateful that I got to have this experience and I got an invite to join SAG after, not SAG. I'm not mispronouncing it. I know it's SAG after, but after I got a SAG invite. And yeah, it's just one of my favorite experiences to date because it was so serendipitous the entire time, everything that happened. And I knew that my portion of what happened was me doing my best, me being open and willing and having that beginner's mindset and being willing to take direction and to step back when asked or step forward when asked and just really just take it in as like, even if this doesn't pan out, this is going to be an experience I'm going to remember for the rest of my life and that I'm going to learn so much from. And I can make so many friends from this. Not in a way that it's like, ooh, I can make friends that will serve me in the future. Like, no, I can make actual friends here. And Marcus, you know, ended up later on, we ended up attending Global Citizens Fest together and reuniting there. And he ended up like saving my life. I'm not exaggerating. That's not hyperbolic. I will tell you about that another time. But anyways, I'm just really, really grateful. My voice is now woken up. Thank you so much, because now I'm going to get ready for this wedding gig. And thank you to the powers that be, whoever is out there looking out for me. Thank you for giving me such a transformative experience in my life, because it's one that I will never forget and I'm forever grateful for. So you all go enjoy your days and do your best, show up your best, be kind to absolutely everyone and not for an ulterior motive. Be kind because it feels good to be kind. Be selfish in that way. All right. I will talk to you next week.